On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh goes solo to recap the Nets' win over the Pelicans, Kyrie's excellence, DeAndre Jordan's injury, and which Nets he's still concerned about, all that and more on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. I am your host, Josh Bass, going solo today. Unfortunately, Marcus and I could not have schedules sync up. We did watch the Nets lose to the Pistons together over the weekend, but I'm coming to you after a Nets win. The Nets beat the New Orleans Pelicans in a pretty fun game. They won 135 to 125. Nets jumped out. Had a pretty nice lead. We're up by 20 early in the third quarter, just to see Brandon Ingram literally burst into flames and just catch fire for a career-high 40 points. The game got tighter, but they held on with some clutch shooting down the stretch from Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, an excellent game from Kyrie Irving. I think besides the 50-point game, this might have been his best all-around game as a Net, 39 points on a really efficient 13 of 21 shooting, got to the line 11 times. Anytime it seemed that the Nets needed a bucket, he would just go out and get it. But really solid performance for him, and we'll break all that down. Of course, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts. Himalaya, we'll be there, you know. Just look us up and smash that subscribe button. Rate us, review us, tell us what you're thinking. So the Nets, they get this win tonight. They now sit at 3-4 after the first seven games of what most people, including myself, would think of as a pretty easy schedule. They now are about to embark on a West Coast trip for four games and then another road game at Chicago before coming home to Indiana. And in this one, DeAndre Jordan did leave the court with a pretty nasty ankle injury. You could hear him cursing, really just kind of screaming in pain for a little. He was able to walk off under his own power, which is good, but they pretty immediately ruled him out for the game. The Nets do have a few days before their first game on this West Coast trip against Portland, so we'll see if he's able to return. But if he can't, you know, the Nets are already super thin up front. They don't have many big fours, which I think is definitely something that people are concerned about with this roster construction. Their big four is a guy named Kevin Durant, a 7-footer, who, as we all know, will most likely not be playing this season. And, I mean, there's been a lot of consternation of both about DeAndre Jordan's play and Jared Allen's play. But DeAndre Jordan still was a relatively consistent presence, and if he can't go for any games this season, especially on this trip, they'll need to figure out what they want to do replacing him. And those options are go internally with Nick Claxton, who has not played a single NBA minute so far, and then Henry Ellenson, who we know is pretty terrible from his time in Detroit, and probably a guy that should have stayed in college at Marquette another year or two. So it'll be interesting to see if Sean Marks hits the waiver wire, see who's out there. Maybe can we get Rafael Hitchheimer back to the Nets? He hit 8 threes against the Nets in the preseason playing for Ceci Franca in one of the most spectacular performances of all time. So maybe get Hitchheimer. Get a big that can shoot a little bit. I know he is not an NBA caliber player, but I just enjoyed his experience against the Nets so much that it might make sense just bringing him in. But if not, we'll see how Ellenson and Claxton can fill the void left by any potential DeAndre Jordan injury. So in this one, this was an interesting game because I really felt that the Nets played pretty well in the first half, especially the first quarter, but there's still something off. There were still so many turnovers, finished with 23 for the game, had 7 in the first quarter alone. You know, the Nets were hitting a lot of threes. Joe Harris finished 4 of 9. Caris LeVert, I mean, a 4 of 8 game from him from the three-point line is outstanding. He doesn't shoot threes with that level of success or volume on many occasions. And to see him get up 8 attempts and knock down 4 of those is a very welcome sign. especially coming off a game against Detroit where I thought, you know, frankly, he was a little out of control. I think he is more so a guy who's comfortable getting into the mid-range. And whenever you're getting into those shots, it's just not the most efficient. I think that's when he kind of struggles because he's not the best free throw shooter. He can get to the basket, but he struggles to finish. His three-point shot obviously has been erratic so far in his career, his young career. So there's no real level of the court where he excels at scoring. He's kind of just a jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none type. But this year, he really has been more consistent with his three-point shot, tightened up his mechanics a bit, which I've always thought were pretty loose, where he would rush his motion a lot. And these threes that he's shooting, they're not like they're all so wide open. He's getting some pretty tough looks that he's knocking down, and they were certainly on timely occasions. So it's great to see Karis being able to shoot the ball with some consistency. I thought Garrett Temple also did a really nice job for the Nets tonight. Finished with 13 points, 4 assists. He had a really nice play where he was able to get a steal and a breakaway in the first half, and then a kind of dunk. And he hit the three-point shot well. So nice bounce back game for him because he also struggled against Detroit. And really, you know, I think this Nets team played well tonight. There were only a couple guys where I was really shaking my head. And I think everyone who is part of the collective Nets Twitter sphere was as well. Rodion Skurix unfortunately had a god-awful 7-minute stint in the first half. We didn't see him in the second half. Kenny opted to shorten his rotation, already short at 9 people because he took Nwaba out of the rotation a couple games ago, and then he just went with 8 guys in the second half, no Rhodey. And Rhodey has a really great touch from the 3-point line. He just needs more consistency. He shot a poor percentage last year, but you know, he was a rookie, a second round guy. He had gotten buried at Barcelona. I didn't think it was a great indication of his future 3-point prospects. I think he's going to be a good shooter still, but it's clear that he's lost a lot of confidence in his shot. He's getting kind of looks where he's pretty open off the catch and shots he would have had no hesitation shooting last year. And he's looking to drive it into traffic, drove one into traffic, and I think either threw up a bad shot or someone else fumbled a pass, and then twice got called for traveling. And, you know, this is an emphasis in the league this year. It always is at the start of the year with these traveling half steps at the start. You know, they don't really mind it too much when someone takes 4 or 5 steps, but when someone takes a half step before starting to dribble, that's when the NBA really cares. But anyway, I digress. So Rhodey got called for 2 of those, and I think Kenny had it at that point. And Rhodey has struggled this season, there's no doubt about it, but he's still shown the energy that he can provide against that. In that Knicks game, he was a absolute critical spark plug, you know, getting offensive rebounds, steals, hitting threes. And we need to see that back from him because he's one of the Nets' best athletes. You don't think of him as being a super athletic guy, but he really is. And pound for pound, he is probably the most athletic player on this team besides maybe David Nwaba. Because think about who else they have. Take away the big guys for a second, but none of those are nuclear athletes. Kyrie, not especially. Karis is quick, but he's not like an overall explosive leaper or anything like that. Dinwiddie, no. And then Torian Prince is a pretty underwhelming athlete from my point of view. Doesn't have great explosion. And then obviously Joe Harris, we love the guy, but no one's going to be confusing him for a Donovan Mitchell or a Derek Jones. So it's left with Kurutz as the best athlete on the team, a guy that can make those hustle spark plays that the Nets so desperately need. So they need him to get going because he fills an interesting niche on this team that they just don't have right now, or no one even in the hopper that can provide that. So I think that Kenny really has to give him some opportunity to get going. You know, maybe it's okay for him to sit on the bench a couple games and just watch and observe, and you want to go with Nwaba as your small ball 4. But, you know, the Nets are just a tiny team to begin with, and now you're saying, hey, DeAndre Jordan might not play. We're not sure who his backup's going to be. And then you counter that as well with Kurutz, who's your biggest wing, not playing. The Nets are just going to be small out there, and they don't have the athletes to compensate for it on the defensive end and getting on the glass. So I think they have to have a long leash with Kurutz and see what happens. But I think he'll figure it out. You know, he still is a very young player. It's not uncommon for guys in their sophomore year to regress a little bit. and go in a slump. So I think he's going to figure it out and excited to see what he can do. You know, it's just been a rocky start to the season for him. Now, a guy that has struggled a lot and I'm a bit more concerned about is Spencer Dinwiddie. So he, in both tonight's game and then the game against the Pistons, and I guess we'll start with the game against the Pistons, he was out of control. And he does this thing a lot where he'll just have one foul call and then it'll just spiral, spiral, spiral. And I know he was a plus 10 in that game, finished with 25 minutes, but he was a lot of the reason why the Nets couldn't get over the hump at the end, because he had three plays in a row where he got called for off-arm offensive fouls. That can't happen. You have to know the refs are going to be looking for that. And if you get called for it once, fine, I get it. Twice, that's really inexcusable. Three times is borderline just like, it's mental. You can't have that happen to you. And he's a player that he lets one call get to him. And in this league, Spencer Dinwiddie is one of my favorite players to watch. I think his story is incredible. He's a very good player, probably top 75 in this league. He's not a superstar. He's not even an all-star. He's not someone that's going to command the respect that when he complains to the refs that they're going to say, hey, I got you. Let me look out for it next time. And he frankly pisses off the refs with his constant complaining. And it's something that he needs to rein in, and Kenny needs to work with him on it, because it's just gotten out of hand. And then tonight against the Pelicans, no offensive fouls, but it was just careless turnovers. You know, two plays in a row where he jumped in the air and just threw the ball away. And he did not look like himself, didn't get to the free throw line in 21 minutes. Shot selection was questionable as always, and you can live with it when he's just being an electric offensive player. You know, those types of guys that can heat up in a second are going to have questionable heat check shots. I get that. But when he's countering it with really terrible turnovers, that's what's inexcusable. Because remember when Spencer Dinwiddie, his first legit season on the Nets 2 years ago, he had the best assisted turnover ratio in the league. His big thing was that he was such a low turnover guy, solid caretaker, and could get to the basket. And then last year was really when he morphed into that dynamo offensive player, struggled a bit at the end of the year, and now to start this season, it's just been a flurry of turnovers, bad shot selection, poor defensive effort, and they need Dinwiddie to be a big part of this team because, you know, this is his first season as part of that 3-year contract that they signed him to at really good value. But it's not clear how him, Caris LeVert, Kyrie are going to mesh together, especially once KD comes back locked and ready to go next year. And it's very likely that one of those four guys, one of either Caris or Spencer, because Kyrie and KD aren't going anywhere, one of those two guys gets shipped off because both of them are on very reasonable contracts for a player that might be a different type of talent, maybe fit a little better. I was listening to another podcast and they mentioned the idea of what about a swap for a Spencer Dinwiddie for Aaron Gordon. The Nets need some length and athleticism and really a premier defender, and a team like Orlando needs someone that can create shots and volume. So I think that's the type of trade that would be super interesting. And I love Spencer, but he's going to need to continue playing to the level that he showed last year and the year before if he wants to fetch that type of trade package. And when you're him, if you want a lot of shot opportunity, which we all know he does, he wants the ball in his hands, you have to prove that. You know, it's not like you're the only guy on the team. You have Kyrie Irving, who is an absolutely unquestioned star. And then Caris LeVert, Spencer and Caris are kind of vying for that number two position. But right now it's clear that Caris is just kind of a more in control player. And the Nets need that right now because they've had so many problems with turnovers to start the year. They need a guy that can get them shots in at least decent quantities. It might not be the best quality shot or efficient shot given Caris's shot selection and kind of his shot map isn't the most efficient. But I still trust him more than Spencer Dinwiddie at this point, even though I love Spencer. So other notes, Joe Harris is still awesome. Hit some really clutch threes, had some nice drives getting to the basket, dishing it off to guys like DeAndre and Jared Allen. And that was great to see from Joe. You know, he's such a solid all-around player. On the defensive end, competes. I thought he did a pretty nice job also against the Pistons where, you know, he's not the most athletic guy, obviously. But he competes so well, and he's very strong and knows where to go, that he can compensate pretty well. And those are the type of defenders that the Nets really need. And that's the kind of guys they lost last year. You know, Ed Davis, Damari Carroll, Jared Dudley, these are not kind of standout athletes like a Paul George or Kawhi Leonard, but they're smart players, they're big bodies, and the combination of those two traits is pretty dynamic in this league defensively. And having those types of guys is huge, because right now the Nets defense is terrible. You know, Brandon Ingram cooked them for 40 points. A lot of that damage was against Taurean Prince, who just really, I don't know if he didn't have the effort, but he didn't really stand a chance against Ingram. And Ingram made some insane shots. One over Jared Allen he made was just ridiculous. And I think another over Prince at the end of the game, which was more of a fall away. These are shots that you can't defend against. But when someone's dropping 40 on you on 17 of 24 shooting, at least a good portion of that is effort there. I mean, I can't believe how deep the Pelicans are. They have a ton of guys. I mean, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, I know that he's been inconsistent to start the season, but he's super talented and he barely played. Nicola Melli, who is one of my favorite players and a guy that the Nets expressed interest in, I think it was the 2017 or maybe it was 2016 offseason. Yeah, 2016 offseason, they expressed interest in Melli. He decided to stay in the Italian league, but he's a guy that could make it rain from three in kind of that Nikola Mirotic role. And I'm surprised he didn't get any game action, because in the opening night of the season, he was awesome against Toronto. But Alvin Gentry is just trying something different. Melli would be a great guy for the Nets to see if they could poach later on this season. Guy, big body, can really shoot the ball, because I think that's missing on this team right now. The guy who can really step out and be able to drain threes from the big man position and just give the Nets another diverse weapon. So whether it's a guy like Nicola Melli or my boy Hetschheimer, signing him, it will be interesting to see if the Nets address that, just giving them a different dimension. I know they like to play kind of with a role man at the five, given the other talent they have, one through four. Someone that can suck the defense in, but it's not like Jared Allen or DeAndre Jordan are just so dynamic as role men right now that you can't have a bit of a different offensive attack to make it a more diverse. The Nets right now, Kyrie Irving is just, I mean, he was a wizard tonight. He was, like, having a player like him with his ceiling is something that I haven't been used to as a Nets fan, because they've had good players. They've had Deron Williams. They've had Joe Johnson. Even, obviously, they've had great players. Jason Kidd, Vince Carter. But none of those guys as a pure scorer, really maybe the first or second Vince Carter season was like this, but none of them have had kind of the pure scoring instincts of Kyrie Irving, just being able to go out, be a wizard with the ball. And he put up an easy 39 tonight. I mean, it wasn't like he was, like, when D'Angelo Russell scored 39 last year, it's like, wow, like, I can't believe he's doing this. Kyrie Irving, everything he did was like, I can believe he's doing this. And it seems very repeatable. And it's just such a pleasure to have that on this team. But, you know, this Nets team is still flawed. There are definitely structural things that are going to be problems. They don't have a ton of size or athleticism. They don't have that defensive stopper. They're very reliant on the three-point shot, and then their number two and three creators in LeVert and Dinwiddie can be pretty inconsistent. So am I as bullish on the team as I was to start the year? Probably not. I think right now they're most likely kind of going to fall into a six or seven seed, probably 41, 42 wins, so a couple lower than I had expected, just because with some of these games they've dropped early on this season where they clearly had the higher-end talent, it was disappointing. So we'll see what happens, but I still am. I've heard a bunch of podcasts this week saying I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs. That's ridiculous. We can stop that. But don't think they're going to be able to really compete for a home court advantage in the playoffs, which is unfortunate. But you know, it's a long season. The Nets were 8-18 last year. I certainly did not think they were going to go on the run they did and end up with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant in the ensuing season. So it's worked out pretty well. If you want things to work out for you, you have to use Manscaped. Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. So Marcus will be joining me later on this week. The Nets have some nice off days. Maybe we'll take a look at the waiver wire and see if this DeAndre Jordan injury is relatively serious, and maybe he's out for a week and a half or 2 weeks, who the Nets could look at seriously at picking up. So no Rafael Hetschheimer, even though I love the guy. Until next time, you can subscribe to the podcast, of course, where I mentioned before, wherever you get your major podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Nets. I am at JMBass_Marcus. Very talented guy. You can follow him at Marcus Barahal. He would very much appreciate it, and I would too on his behalf. But until next time, we will speak to you guys later. Bye.